All right. Ow, look 13. We are on verse 7. Let me read the parable again. Verse 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. And then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. What cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I dig about it and dung it. If it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Let's look at the word cumbereth in verse 7. Cumbereth is a strange word, but it means something that's rendered useless. And therefore, you cause it to cease. As we talked about yesterday, the 3-year cycle is critical in understanding the mystery of the scriptures, really. But this guy had a fig tree, and after 3 years, it still wasn't producing fruit. And so the normal thing to do then is you cut it down. Because the word cumbereth, it's rendered useless, so you cause it to cease. Now, this is why he was with the disciples for 3 years. After 3 years, they brought forth fruit. The fruit meaning they reproduced themselves. Anyway, let's look at some of the. It's also translated as bring to naught or to nothing. But let's start in Isaiah 5. It's Isaiah talking about this whole idea of bearing fruit.
25?
5. Now the fig tree is a symbol of Israel. And the vineyard, of course, is a symbol of the bride. And so, starting verse 1 of Isaiah. Now will I sing a song to my well-beloved, a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard and a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a wine press therein, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, it brought forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and I will break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. I will lay it waste, and it shall not be pruned nor digged. But there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no more rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. He looked for judgment, but behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, a cry. So here, it's the same idea. the idea that God planted his vineyard. And the vineyard is of the choicest vine, because now the vineyard comes from the mystery of Christ. So it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And instead of bringing forth the mystery of the bride, it brought forth wild grapes, which is a metaphor for self-seeking. That's the same idea with the fig tree. Both of them are, when the seed is planted, it expects to bring forth that which the seed brings forth. And it doesn't. And if it doesn't, then the exhortation is to cut it down and start anew. So let's go back to Luke. Anybody have any thoughts about all this? All right, we're still studying this word cumbereth. Let's go to Romans 3. Here it's translated of none effect. Romans 3, verse 1. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much, every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. So here, he's arguing against himself, for back up to Romans 2, and starting verse 28, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which was outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart and the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Now, this is why there's now, in other places, it talks about there's neither Greek or Jew, bond or free, young or old, male or female. Now the only thing left is the bride or the whore, vessels of wrath or vessels of mercy. That's the only distinction that God sees. And so it automatically destroys all activity with regard to giving importance or breadth to nations or kingdoms, because there's not any left from God's perspective, and we are to see with God's eyes. Amen? Is there something going on, something not being said? It seems like it's a little heavy in here. Are you okay? Anybody else? All right. Let's go to Romans 6.
What's the purpose of the kingdoms that you just spoke of? I mean, when you say from God's eyes, they don't exist, right?
Well, that's what the scriptures say. There's neither bond nor free, Greek or Jew, young or old, black or white. They're just inventions of man.
Yeah. So those barriers are all down.
Yeah. So is giving importance to anything that has to do with them, and that's gone.
That'd be the only way you could sing that way, the way you would speak openly to any king, president, whatever, lackeys, because you don't see them in their position, you see them as souls.
Right. That's, and again, the definition of a Jew is one who is one inwardly, whose circumcision is of the heart.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what's outward.
So,
and that's the, this is where it's tested. That's why we always talk about what happens in the midnight hour. What is your, you as the temple of God, how are you functioning in these times of aloneness or trouble or... Because that's where, that's your only true religion. That's where God sees you, is when things aren't going the way you think they should. Anybody understand that? All right, Romans 6. Well, let's start in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk. We should walk. We also should walk in this newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also... Well, notice that of in the likeness is... It should... Is in italics. It should say we shall also be... of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body may be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, there the word destroyed is the same word, is rendered useless, good for nothing, except as a vessel. All right, 1 Corinthians.
Just saying, this resurrection and our death, we die in him, we're resurrected in him.
Only he is resurrected.
We're not resurrected in him with him at the same time?
No, only he is resurrected. He alone has immortality. He alone is resurrected. He's resurrected in us. That's the mystery of Pentecost. Well, it's because it's in italics.
It's in italics, but it still is a transition there. But we shall be also resurrected.
Of his resurrection.
Yeah, of his resurrection.
Not ours. If you were resurrected, then you would have immortality. He alone has immortality.
Somewhere we're resurrected in him, with him, by God.
He's resurrected in us. We now are a vessel, and the vessel alone for that resurrection. We are dead. He is resurrected.
But our mortal bodies are quickened.
Quickened, made alive by him. In him. Only him. Understand?
Yeah.
It's a biggie, because you're not there. But the problem is, in the resurrection, Satan was destroyed, if we believe the scriptures, by his death. And yet, the evil one resurrected himself from the dead in us.
He resurrected himself, right?
Yeah, he is in all men. I mean, he's that's all men are the vessels for deity. So you have to get rid of the first deity.
Our baptism should have dealt with him too.
Should have dealt with everything about you. Your mind, your emotions, everything. From baptism, no, it's his cross he was. The cross is everything. The cross all men died at the cross. Now, but he resurrected himself from his deadly head wound. In us. Because he didn't want to lose God let it so that the test would be total, so that we could prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God by being tested in the same way he was. All right? 1 Corinthians. We're still studying this katargio, which render useless, cause to be gone or cease. So, start verse chapter 1, verse 20. Let's start in verse 26. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 1:26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men, not after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. And it's the thing, bring to naught, is this category, whatever the word is we're studying. It's translated cumbereth, but meaning render useless. He rendered useless the things that are. He brings to nothing. Self-realization, which is the same thing.
Yeah. And if God uses things that don't have power and aren't in control, weak things, beggarly things.
Yeah, but if you go down the list there, the wise is sophists, and none of us are wise. Mighty is, and well, we don't even look at that, none of us are mighty. Noble means of the we don't have the right heritage. Foolish is moros, which is where we get moronic. Weak is asthenes. Base is again without the right genetics, and despised. So we are crucified unto the world, and the world is crucified unto us. There's nothing in us, about us, that the world system wants. That's why let's look real quickly at Luke 16. No, that won't work. Oh.
We've tried.
We've tried a lot.
Tried taking this.
Looks. Luke 16, verse 15. You are they which justify, he said unto them, you are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. So the idea is always, the test is, what do you esteem? If you esteem the same thing the world esteems, then you got a problem. Amen?
So, okay, I've had this question rumbling throughout the study. I'm kind of waiting for you to answer it. Get back to the first cover it for where cutting, starting to do.
Well, a vineyard that
he's grasping for something.
Yeah, in the first one, in the one we studied in Isaiah, that vineyard that he was the Jewish nation, the Jewish people. And it did not bring forth fruit. And so it was destroyed, cumbereth. Now the fig tree metaphor that we're studying now, with the word cumbereth, it applies both to the Jew and the Christian, because it's each of us has to bring forth fruit necessary for repentance.
I guess I'm trying to ask, does this relate to us individually, personally, or as a group, or both, I guess?
Just both. All right, let's go to we're in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2.
Can I ask another question?
Sure.
How does it translate, though? What's it look like? This.
What does what look like? The right
process,
way? Or?
This starting over.
Well, we're going to get to that about what the guy said is don't chop it down yet. I'm going to dig a tunnel around it, and I mean a ditch around it and fertilize it.
Permanent.
Yeah. So let's see. We'll get to that in a minute. Hopefully. And we're chapter 2, verse. Well, let's just start in verse 1 of chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Albeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world, that came to naught, nothing, or it was cumbereth. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So again, it's this idea of coming to naught or coming to know. So all of the value systems of men, he says that came to that has already come to naught, come to nothing. All right? Now let's go back to Romans. I mean Luke, I mean.
Let me look at 10 for just a second. It says, but God hath revealed them unto us by the Spirit. It's like the them could be changed to him. Because that's what he reveals. It's himself and Christ. And that's his focus.
I'm not getting what you're saying.
Well, in 10 it says, but God hath revealed them, talking about the things that God has prepared for them that love him, but God has revealed them. But I was just looking at it, and it is in italics, so I changed it to him.
Well, it's just not, there's no word there. That's what it means when it's in italics.
But there's no subject then.
Yeah, that's why they put the words in, to make it understandable, because the way it's written in Greek, it is understandable. He's revealed, things were revealed by his Spirit.
My point is, the things that he revealed must have been of his Son.
Right, it's more and more of his Son and the marriage, the bride.
Yeah.
All right. Back to, we won't time. It's time to quit. Tomorrow, we study the woman with infirmity. And the response to the rulers of the synagogue. But this thing about Oh, wait a minute. No, we're going to study more about dung tomorrow. What about digging the ditch around the fig tree and dunging it? And what that means. All right. I'm kind of out of it today, so excuse me if I have not been too clear. All right, take it, big guy.